Okay, good morning, everyone. It is September 2nd at 10 a.m. This is a regular work session meeting of the Board of the Uinta County Commission. Being held in the large conference room at Commission Chambers in Vernal, Utah. The very first thing is a right-of-way grant, UTU 93350-51, right-of-way grant from the BLM for a portion of 8,000 South Road in the Pelican Lake area. Mr. Matt.
Good morning. So just a little background on this grant. This comes after an appeal was filed. So back in 2021 or 2022, we filed an application to get a right-of-way for this road. BLM denied it back then, and the county appealed their decision because their decision was based on a gate being locked, which hadn't been locked. And so we appealed it, and somebody finally looked at the appeal and determined that the county was correct and told the BLM to issue the right-of-way. So this is for this portion of the road that crosses BLM property here, and then it goes on to the bird refuge down there. So this is Highway 88 here. Pelican Lake would be just to the west of this, and then this is the Green River over here and part of the bird refuge down there. So it's that section of road that crosses BLM. Everything else around it here is private or the bird refuge. So that's the section of road that they're granting the Title V right-of-way on. And so I guess the request would be that the county accept the right-of-way from the BLM. And
do we gain any advantage by getting that right-of-way, or does the bird refuge have a locked gate on their fence line or fence across it, you know?
Yeah, that was the claim from the BLM, is that the gate was locked, but the gate was not locked. There is a gate there, but it's, well, I didn't go check it today, but back in 2022 when we appealed it, the gate was not locked. So, but we can go down and check it now that we've got the right-of-way and work with the bird refuge if we need to.
No, we're fine. Okay.
So.
Alrighty. Anything else on that?
Is that ready to go on the agenda next week then?
Yep, go on next week.
Okay.
No, 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
We'll be at UAC next week.
Okay.
15th.
So the 15th,
woohoo. Halfway through the month.
Well, she said it better, Melissa.
I will actually handle this. Melissa, if you want to jump in.
Yeah, I'll jump in, but Lauren's going to take lead.
Lauren?
Okay, so this, we had this out before, I believe, early August. We're amending the travel policy. We did hear comments from certain departments who tried to incorporate those things that we could, so please, once after today, we will send it out again. Please comment and let us know. First thing I'd like to just bring up is 700.4. This is about they're about travel reimbursements. It's not through the procurement office. So Jenny's office will not handle expenses for travel. This will come from each department. Going on with that, travel expenses must be paid by P-card or out-of-pocket expenses. We did talk about reimbursement, getting the reimbursement beforehand. We can still do that after we talked. We originally took it out. We put that back. You can do that before, pay out-of-pocket expenses, and then just be reimbursed later, or use the P-card. We encourage you to use the P-card as much as possible.
I have a concern there, the way it's written.
Okay, which one? Where?
Because travel expenses for some people are going to include their meals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We want to use P-cards for meals?
Because we'll have the rate, they're based upon GSA rates, that would be a good way to receive that.
What happens if it goes over?
They can be reimbursed, get that money beforehand, or be paid for it after. If it goes over, there's only a certain rate that we can we can pay for that. So if the mill goes over, I think you need to talk to your department head, get approval from them, or you're going to be stuck with it.
I would like something in there that says no.
It says we're seeing.
If it's over the per diem rate and you use your card, you must reimburse the county.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I got a credit card receipt as they fill out what they spent that, then they would have to say breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and I have to have per diem tell me if they were under or over, right?
On a total for the day or individual meals, because you know, you can skimp on one.
Should be individual meals.
And if
yeah, but I've skimped on a lunch meal so I could have a nicer dinner.
Right.
So
I've done that too.
So is it by the day then? How do you want?
Well, what I'm looking at,
the GSA says by day.
If you get a free breakfast with your hotel room or something like that,
don't get breakfast.
That wouldn't be the per day.
Right.
I think common sense says you'd take that out.
Well, so if you look at five.
That's what it says in here, is that you have to take it out if the
place
you're going provides lunch or
yes.
any of the meals, and those aren't, you can't say, well, I got my free meal at the, we paid for the meal at the conference, and then I'm going to include my lunch with my dinner. That doesn't, so it's in there, I think.
And sometimes meals will be more, like you will attend things, they'll be more expensive. So you need to get the department head, or if you're a department head, you need to get the elected official over you, or if you're an elected, if you're the commissioner, you'd have another commissioner sign off on that. But here, when we follow the GSA rates, the rates are calculated by time, so sometimes breakfast or dinner will not be available depending upon the time. If you leave for a conference after 7 p.m., they don't calculate breakfast. And we just follow the GSA rates with that, and that is included in this. I just want to jump ahead and show you that. That will show times, that will show the meals provided, meals when you spend the night, when you don't, things like that. If we could jump back to where we were in section one, we encourage the use of P cards. I know there's comments about sometimes some employees don't have P cards, so we hope that there are department P cards that can be used, or sometimes you'll be reimbursed, you'll get the reimbursement beforehand, which will take some effort to prepare for that, but that's, if you don't want to pay out of pocket before, that would be best for you for that. County business requiring an overnight stay must submit a written request to your immediate supervisor before booking. You're required to plan as far ahead as possible. As it concerns airline travel, you have to get an economy ticket. If you go for something higher, you will pay the difference from that, unless that's the only one available. Then you'll have to show that was the only one available. A lot of this is just common sense, but a lot of it's just trying to be wise stewards of money so we receive. Going on, if we go, I think we're in section two now. We talked about airlines, but vehicles, use the county vehicle first. If you don't and one is not available, so use a personal car, you will be reimbursed 100%. Only if one is not available. If one is available but you still want to use your personal vehicle, that will be reimbursed to 50%. So that will be your choice if you want to take your own car.
I had a question there on, if you go up to the, up a little bit on the mileage.
Is that,
so
which section?
Under D.
D?
Talks about travel under 500 mileage reimbursements are strictly prohibited. Let's see. The 500 miles, though, is that round trip or is that one way?
I believe that's total, and I think that comes from, I think that's federal. Where they talk about 500, so we just want to use that as a base as well.
So that's total mileage then. Okay.
Is it always going to be that exact amount? No, but I think their thought was if it's over 500 miles,
get a flight
might be cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just didn't want to because we have a nonstop flight to Denver from here.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably cheaper to fly to Denver.
Definitely.
Right.
and but Denver's closer than 500 miles, so it's not, you're not counting the round trip mileage then.
But round trip, it's about what, 600 miles?
Yeah, round trip's going to be more than 500. So, okay. And then so plus also flying helps in plane mix numbers to make sure we keep our. Mm-hmm.
Let's say you do fly to Denver, but then you've got the cost of Uber or
rental
taxi,
rental car,
yep.
All of that on top of that. So would it be more beneficial to go ahead and take a vehicle?
You want to look and see how many people are going with you? If you're probably going alone, when I've ran the numbers, it's been cheaper even to rent a car than to pay somebody to drive, because it's going to take you, what is it, eight hours or so to get, depending on when you travel. So there's time that's spent in transit plus mileage on the vehicle. But yeah, you can definitely spend more on a rental car if you're not careful.
I just recently got back from Denver in July, anyway. And we did the cost calculation on it, and it did end up being cheaper for the county to drive. It was surprising, but like once we calculated, okay, every single time that we need to go to and from a conference, because we weren't able to stay in an actual hotel, so every time we needed to go to and from the conference was an Uber. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it ended up being cheaper, more cost effective to the county to drive than to fly.
And I think sometimes when I was in the criminal office and we'd go to D.C., it was cheap. Far away, but even with everything like that, it was sometimes cheaper if you stay at the hotel. All your meals are at the hotel, so you don't go anywhere, right? You get an Uber from the airport to the hotel and stay there. So I think it's just a case-by-case basis. You need to do those calculations to make sure you're getting the best rate. Going on with that.
Just getting
sorry.
Through.
I thought maybe he was choking, and I thought, I better check on
him. Okay, so going at F, mileage calculation. This is how you calculate mileage from either your home, to begin at your home, or you begin at work. Just be careful with personal side trips. I'm not going to say you can't do them, but if you go out of the way, that mileage is not reimbursable. And we're going to make stops. I mean, that's common sense. But just be careful with using if you're in a county vehicle, especially making side trips.
Can we go back to F?
Yeah, that's where we are. Yep.
On the first one, the I. No.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm on personal vehicle usage. Never mind.
So E. You want to go back to E? Or?
Yeah, right there. You've got the clerk auditor's office check for unavailability. That needs to be changed to we don't do fleet. Should that be the commissioner's admin? And
yes.
Then two also says the same thing.
Good point. Okay.
We need that changed to commission admin secretary because we don't know.
We didn't tell you your new job?
No.
Surprise!
Good job. Yeah, I'll change that to commissioner's office.
Okay. I noted that too.
Lauren? I had a quick question on that one too. So, like, we have an office vehicle, and I know many offices do. What does the mileage count as then? So, like, our office vehicle, we only have the one, and we have a lot of people that use it from office to office to day-to-day traffic, and so we generally say, okay, well, if a commission vehicle is not available, we're not going to steal that one because they need it to make it day-to-day.
And go up to D. Go up to D1, right there. If you have one that's assigned, try to use it. If you can make it work, if not...
Whenever available. So.
Right.
Okay.
In another car. If other people are using it, you guys decide if that makes sense.
Goes back to common sense.
Yeah.
And if you need an extra vehicle, we could probably find something in facilities, like our fleet car.
There's an old snowplow truck you can take.
We got old stuff. Yeah.
With the snowplow.
Might make it to Gusher, but that's far enough.
Yeah.
I don't think we did enough.
Got a cemetery in there where we tie our bowl.
Yeah.
I'll ask him.
Should we go to three, lodging allowances? Lodging can be difficult sometimes. There's a GSA rate. If you can't find lodging if the lodging is more than 20% of the GSA rate, you just have to get prior written approval. And sometimes that will be a problem if you go and there's not a lot of available spaces or you have to be far away. So this one might be used often, but just get prior approval if it's more than 20% of what the GSA rate is. If you have questions about what the GSA rate is, well, they can talk to you, right?
They can pull it up.
GSA.com, right.
And then also, if you fly somewhere and there's a storm, you're stuck, and you have to rebook a flight or something like that, just as soon as possible, let your department head or the elected official over you know, just as soon as possible. For how to calculate time, work time when you're traveling, there's an entire calculation. Just know, and I don't want to go through it, but if you're hourly, there's certain hours you can work. If you work over by traveling long distances, you can be reimbursed for those, or you'll get credit for those, but just have to be careful. Usually if it goes on salary, it doesn't. You're fine, but sometimes you're going to be traveling all day, and that will eat up your work time, and there might be.
So you're saying have the person on salary drive.
Yes.
Yes. Because if you're a passenger, it doesn't count. Or if you're sending an hourly employee, just come and talk to me about like what their agenda looks like or whatever. I worked at the library directly when they went down to the library convention on some of theirs. So
right.
I'd be happy to walk through it and we can calculate it together. And also that way it's transparent for your hourly and so like employee that's going. So they know what is compensable.
I think that's, yeah, a lot of it's just common sense, but talk to the department head or the person over you if you have any questions. Of course, Melissa. One thing in four also is optional dinners and unrequired social events that sometimes you have with conventions or conferences or that. They're non reimbursable.
Oh my gosh, what?
So if they're required.
Unless you make them go. Then you have to pay them.
I'm just joking.
Right. So just be careful about that. If we talked about the meal allowances, the per diem meal allowances. You can be reimbursed for things such as taxis, baggage fees, tips for those people who transport you, things like that. Just keep verification. Keep receipts.
Does this have in it? I don't remember seeing it. It used to be if they stayed at the family member, it was a reduced rate.
It was $50 that you got paid if you stayed with a family member that are within a certain distance of the event.
Yeah, that one. This one doesn't have
that.
Did people use that?
We have several that did.
Oh, really?
And do.
Dude, would
we
you like
add
that?
It back in.
Put back in.
We got moved from 25 to 50. What about 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, it did.
It's cheaper than paying a full rate at a motel.
Yeah.
It
gives them
that. Does that money usually stay with the employer? With the employee?
With the employee.
The employee. We pay them.
So they would just submit like a reimbursement to you.
That they stayed with the member, attached their training, or stayed at a family member or whatever, friend.
You don't tell the family member about that, Lauren.
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
Maybe per night?
That's what it's
okay.
Been. Yeah.
We can add that.
Yeah, we can add that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions? Well, like I said, we'll send this out again. Look over it. If you have any questions, let us know.
Thank you. You've cleaned it up. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it reads much better. And
much better than
yeah.
Well,
it's up to date now, too. So.
Anything else on that one? Alright, policy 102, contract approval and signatory authority, Melissa.
Also Lauren.
Lauren. This one's very, very simple. This is a new policy, so this is not amending any policy. This just states only individuals with appropriate authority can sign contracts on behalf of UNT County. The commission under Utah Code, it's the Board of County Commissioners who have the signing authority. They're the ones that sign contracts. They can delegate that authority to someone by in writing or in a public meeting where they say, hey, you can sign the contract. We are just very concerned as a legal department. Sometimes we see contracts signed by employees, and that puts the employee at a lot of risk and liability because the county and USIP won't won't cover that. That's based on, that goes to the employee. So just be careful about that. This just will codify that the Board of Commission has the signing authority, and they can delegate that, but it has to be in writing or in proper public meeting. Any questions? This one's pretty simple. We would like to get these on the regular commission agenda in a couple of weeks, so we'll send these out once again. If you have any comments, concerns, let us know.
So does this one, does it include, there was another thing that was brought up with this one about getting signatures when things are going to get on the agenda. Is that
that's
part
different.
Of this?
That would be the different one.
Okay.
Yeah. But yes, that is will come up.
Okay, I'll save my comments.
Okay, Ryan. Google Workspace Frontline and Accounts. Modify the contract, which means after this meeting, come to my office because Google hates me right now.
Okay. All right.
This is going to be a no-go.
So, commissioners, we need a little bit of direction on this one. Hello.
A lot of direction.
Apparently so.
Broken.
And the IT person can't fix it.
Oh, no. We're in a world of hurt now.
Call Will. Come on. Get Will down here.
It's definitely the cable. Sure, we're all plugged
in.
Did
it come out of the wall?
No, it was in there. I rejammed it in there.
There you go. Well, you don't have to sing anymore. It's not up.
It's kind of nice when the mechanic has a problem.
That's right.
You want me to have a pocket fumble and re-plug it in?
Seems like the IT thing to do.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Yeah. You have an IT.
Well, you can't blame that. It was working just a minute ago.
I know, right?
I love it.
Unplugged did not work.
We're going to say it's my laptop.
You're right.
Unfortunately.
Push F7 or something.
Mm-hmm.
F9, control, delete.
It doesn't wipe him either.
Obviously, I'm not the only one who has issues.
Is it your screen setting?
All right. I'll give it a quick restart. We'll see if it comes back while I'm talking. So, the Google contract that we renewed just a little bit ago, so it's $189.06 per account. Now that it's going to work, I've already told it to restart. $189.06 per account right now for a full 1 year license for all of our Google Workspace accounts. There's a new license called Google Frontline. It has a few limitations, but they're not so severe that it would keep us from doing regular everyday business. These would be for individuals that don't have a everyday workstation. So facilities probably has got a few, Rose Shop has a few, library particularly is who kind of wants to pilot this idea, is to use this license for those users that don't necessarily have a workstation that is their own workstation every single day. So the savings on it is not terribly much. It's $144 and some change. Obviously, once this comes back up, we'll know for sure. But $144 and some change for the other license. So we're only saving about $45 per user on these other licenses. It does create a little bit of management on our end to keep things straight. The part that I kind of have a little bit of heartburn on is that right now we have 355 licenses, full licenses for Google. Right now we're looking at purchasing 20 additional of these licenses, so we'll have roughly 20 floating licenses. We would have more than that, but the attorney's office is actually now using both email systems, their Office 365 email accounts and our uinta.utah.gov accounts. So because of that, we are currently out of licenses, which is so it's a good reason to actually do these 20 licenses, but it is going to be that we will have roughly 20-ish or so licenses floating that are not currently in use, which will actually probably be more around 15 or so. But it is a little bit of cost that we don't have to sustain, but it is cost that helps us keep everyone flowing, especially with people coming and going. A lot of times we end up with a situation where we have a new employee sitting there ready to go, and we've got to find an email account to deactivate right then and there, and it's complicated.
You deactivate mine. I don't like emails anyway.
So, that being said, we're happy to do the administrative work on it from the back end. We just want to make sure that from the county we're being fiscally responsible by having an additional 20 accounts kind of in pending. We don't want to have too many that makes it so that the county is having a larger bill than necessary. But at the same time, as I mentioned, it is difficult from a lot of different departments. We see people coming and going, and then if the person has been here for a while, we end up holding on to that account. And if no one says anything, if no one comes back later on and says, hey, are you finished with that account, it ends up just always being active, even after that person's been gone a year. And so we send out bills to each individual department to say, hey, these are still the emails you're paying for, but oftentimes those just get paid, and that's that. No one actually, they don't actually necessarily look at that bill to say, hey, there's 10 email accounts on there that we don't need anymore. So that's where we're at with that one. It's not a lot for those 20 accounts. It's $2,880 for the year. So the contract was actually modified for 3 years. We'd pay the prorated amount for this year and then two more years at that $2,880 for those 2 years. So
is this something that is time sensitive, like if we're going to do it now or if we're doing it in 2 months? Or?
It's not terribly time sensitive. If we do it now, we're locked in at that rate, at that 144. If we wait until the following year, then that rate might change. That would be the only hurry piece of this.
So these accounts are going to get scattered out around departments? And
yeah.
By the time they get assigned, then the department picks up that cost? Or?
Pretty much, yes. Mm-hmm. We do the billing through the clerk auditors once a year, and so whatever's active at that point, we do the billing is what gets
initially
sent out.
It lands on clerk auditors line item, budget line item, and then they dish it off.
Initially, it gets put onto telecom.
Telecom.
Telecom's is a fund that we can use to kind of move money around between departments.
It's an enterprise fund that charges for services.
Thank you.
You're talking about 20 more, but they'd be the frontline licenses.
Yes,
and that would free up some of the other ones.
And that would free up some of the other ones.
Have you had issues in the past with them running out, or is it just kind of like a glitch for a minute?
No, it is pretty consistent that we have issues. Probably every 2 months, we have to go through and clean it up and make sure that everybody that's deactivated is truly deactivated and that we can delete those accounts.
Is there something we could put in on separation checklist? Check their email.
So there is right now.
We do.
Yeah. The trouble is that oftentimes people will say on the mm-hmm. what do we call it, deactivation form, they'll say keep it for litigation, and then we keep it, and then it holds on to it for X number of years. We have some accounts that have been. Now, we do have archive licenses for those accounts that we do need to keep a hold of. We're working on an email retention policy with the attorney's office right now, but where we don't really have a policy, we fall back to the state archive requirements, and the state archive requirements pretty much tell us we need to keep a hold of those elected official accounts, particularly for at least 7 years, if not indefinitely.
Any other questions, comments, concerns on that one?
The limitation for the frontline users, it gets into the weeds a little bit, but those frontline users would not be able to use AI tools, so anything with Gemini, anything like that for those employees that don't, you know, have an everyday desk, they would not be able to use any AI tools through Gemini. They also will not have the ability to have a shared grouping of folders. So right now, HR is a great example. They use Google Share Drive in order to share their folders between everybody inside of that department. These frontline users can view those files, but they cannot save or edit or modify those files in any way. They can see them, but they don't actually be able to, won't be able to use them. So there are some limitations that could come up that would be annoyances. But for a lot of users, particularly in the library, when we discussed it with them, they said that they were comfortable with those limitations.
Excellent, excellent ritual. Thank you.
Can you upgrade them once you buy the frontline one? If you hate it?
All right, anything else?
Yeah, so to answer, so Melissa's question was, can you upgrade the licenses afterwards? So you can transfer, so you can say this user is assigned to this frontline license, then you can unassign that license and assign them to a regular license.
But you can't change it.
But you can't change the license itself.
So if you do hate it, you're stuck with it for 3 years.
Exactly. Yes, that would be the financial burden that we would carry. There is the $2,800 or whatever if we decide that, hey, these frontline licenses are
right?
Junk. They don't really work the way we wanted them to. Then we're stuck with those for the 3 year contract. Mm.
Okay. Do you have to buy them in blocks of 20?
We don't have to buy them in blocks of 20. The library currently has 10 that they would be using, and so we decided that we would buy 10 extras just so that we could see who else wanted to try it out.
My suggestion, let's try it out before we go whole hog.
So do I need to increase my telecom budget to compensate for the increase? Or are we pretty close?
Yes.
For next year.
So for last year, the email cost per user account was the $140. So our 3 year contract expired on that, and I'll bring that up in the budget meetings.
Okay.
That we need to increase all of that. So for,
because
that'll affect every department.
Because I don't. Yeah.
Any other good news from IT?
Oh, jeez. Nope. I'm done with the bad news today.
Like a old school radio movie.
That movie adjourned.
Adjourned.